glad you joined us, and we hope it's an awesome service. And we're glad to have Andy Anthony here again today. We welcome him, our guest speaker. He's here last Sunday also, and we just listen to him with open hearts, open ears to his message today. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter. We welcome everybody here today, and just hope it's an awesome service. Come on now, have our prayer. This announcement in, I forgot. Pi Day is coming up Friday, May 14th for our church here. And you can see Jeannie, Abby, or Janet. And if you want to sell some pies or if you want to order pie, there's going to be chocolate, coconut, apple, and cherry. So that's coming up Friday, May 14th. So be keeping that in the back of your minds for Pi Day. Now, if everyone would please stand for our call to worship. It will come from Psalm 103. Verses 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Remain standing for the hymn. Jesus paid it all. we lift up Pastor April. She sent out an email. She is home safely and getting back from such a long trip like that. She's de-escalating and getting things together, and she'll be back with us next week. But we're glad she's back safely, Father God. Sounds like she had a really incredible experience, and we're glad that she's back home. Father God, we lift up the family of Jay Freeman. An accident, Father. We just lift that family up to you, Father God. Just lift them up to you, and just pray that you wrap your arms around them, guide them, bless them, and take care of them, Father God, in this time of tragedy. And lift up our bishop, Bishop Beard. He's having some health concerns, Father God. I know he's going to be off for a while. And I just pray that you'll be with him, guide him, and bless him, as he's our leader for our church. And we just pray that you'll take care of him and his concerns. And we lift up Lila, who's in the hospital and has some health concerns, Father God. Just be with her, take care of her, watch over her, bless her, and guide her, and hope everything turns out really good for Lila. Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Andy being here and preaching to us again. Just listen with open ears, open hearts, and open minds. And as we continue to pray, I just pray, Father God, and thank you for all the blessings and the offerings that people continue to be givers during this time. And I just pray that these offerings are used to honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Song about recognizing just how good God is, the price that had been paid, and that there's always room at the altar for us to come. And whatever's happened, whatever's going on, there's always room at the altar. So let's not neglect that. And even if it's not this physical altar, which there's nothing wrong with a good old old-fashioned altar call. But sometimes just laying ourselves down and at the altar of our heart and coming to a place of seeing God again and who we are in His eyes. Thank you. or other electronic device, it's all right. It is all the Word. And I'm just glad to be back with you guys here this week again. Glad Pastor April had a good trip and that she has made it back safely. These are tenuous times to be traveling the world, especially and especially the part of the world that she went to. What a dangerous time to be doing so. And yet the Lord is with her, and I know that y'all will look forward to an update on how she is doing. So glad to be here and be able to preach for her this week. And I just want to say, last week I gave you an update that I have a job, and don't worry, I still do. I'm not giving you a new update. But what I want to say in the midst of all that is it took quite a while, and there was an in-between time where I had a job that I got, and it's certainly not the job that I had hoped to get, you know what I mean? And yet the Lord was in the midst of that, and the Lord used that job that I didn't want to help give me a lot of context for the job that I did want, right? He taught me some lessons in the waiting. Now, that doesn't mean that I was patiently learning those lessons. That simply means that the Lord was faithful to teach me those lessons, and then faithful to give me the grace to receive that lesson, even though I was a child, right? You know, and thank God that God is patient and kind and the best father that there is and everything like that. But the Lord does these things, right? He will give us good stuff in His time, if we trust Him for His timing, right? Not He'll give it to us if we trust Him. It's just we're not going to enjoy the moment we're in, the life that God has given to us right now. Because even the life you have now has been blessed by God, even if it's not the life you're looking forward to or wanting yet. The life now. The question isn't, is God blessing me? The question is, where is the blessing? And identifying that in our lives can oftentimes have a profound difference on the way we view our lives and the way we view people around us. Because it's not a question of if. You're blessed. You're breathing air. Right? You don't have to. We are not essential beings to this universe. Every breath you take, gift from God. I've given you sufficient time to get to John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, and if you're not there yet, you weren't trying. Jesus is in the midst of a long sermon, long talk with His disciples, and these chapters that we're in, Jesus in the book of John has already had the supper where He washed the feet of the disciples, and now they are on the walk from that dinner to the Mount of Olives. That's as Jesus is walking with them, He's talking with them, knowing that the time is near, very near, where He will no longer be with them. And here He says in John chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. disciples to the Mount of Olives, recognizing that this is nearing the end of his life here on earth, the type of life that he is currently living, right? Because we know that after the resurrection, Jesus was raised from the dead with a bodily, with a body, right? He was fully human when he was raised from the dead. He had the scars to prove it, right? He sat at a campfire and ate some fish with the disciples in John chapter 21. We know that Jesus is fully bodied. Even now, as he sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, pleading for you and for me as our advocate, as one who prays for us, he does so in a body. Okay, that's important for us to recognize and understand and know that we will not become some disembodied thing out when we are fully bodied. God created us with these things, right? Now it's not as good. If this is as good as it gets, let me tell you, I think God had a swing and a miss on this one. You know what I mean? If this is the way that these things were supposed to look, right? Then something's awry. You know what I mean? But sin came and broke the system. And now we are embodied, and yet embodied with sin, embodied with the brokenness. And someday, all of that will fall away. And we will be exactly as God has intended us to be. And so as Jesus comes and he talks with his disciples, knowing that this portion of his life will come to an end. And that this next portion will start very soon. That there will be an intervening time where the disciples will, as we are even now, living in a now, not yet time. You see, salvation us is now. You are saved. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you have confessed him with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved now. But we don't have the fullness of salvation yet. We don't have all the stuff that God has planned for us. Yet we live in a now, not yet. And why do we know that? We see the world and it is broken. We see our lives. We see our own struggles with living faithfully for the Lord, with being who God has called us to be. We see, right? We see that. We know it. You've lived it. You know the struggle of living a faithful life. Jesus knew the disciples would struggle to live a faithful life. And so he gives them tools, metaphors, ideas, ways in order to wrap their minds around eternal things which our minds really fail to comprehend. And so as Jesus is walking through a garden with the disciples, see, Jesus was a master storyteller because he just took the elements of the world around them and got down in the dust, dirt. letting them know very clearly where we stand, where the Father stands, where Jesus stands in the midst of all of this. I would contend that perhaps the Spirit is even in here, even though the Spirit isn't named specifically. Jesus says, I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser. These are important things to know, because guess what? You are not the life giver. The end all be all is not me. It's not you. Jesus is the true vine. The Father is the vine dresser. It is up to the Father, right? The gardener is the one who makes the decisions about the garden, not the garden itself. Now it tries, right? If you're a gardener, you know your garden tries to be in control at every step. There's stuff popping up all over the place. There's things that happen, and you're like, no, that's not what I want in this garden. You're not in control. And those can be hard words to grab onto and understand and be okay with and live with, that Jesus is the vine and the Father is the vine dresser. If we can get those two things in their proper order, then being a branch is a whole lot easier. Because as a branch, if I think I need to be conducting the garden, and I know there are some in your life who like to conduct the garden, where to grow, when to grow, how to grow, what you should smell like, what you should be like. And let me just tell you this, if you don't know one of those people, it's probably you. It's hard to be a branch and do the job of the vine. Because branches aren't rooted in the ground. It's hard to be a branch with the job of the vine dresser, because you just don't know enough. I am the true vine, he says, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may be more fruitful. Now, as Jesus is talking to his disciples, have you ever thought to yourself, I'd love to be a fly on the wall as Jesus talks to his disciples? Because here's what I think would happen a lot as Jesus is talking to his disciples. Them looking at each other being like, I don't get it. Do you get it? I don't understand. Otherwise, why would Jesus need to continually tell the disciples the same things over and over again? How many times did Jesus tell his disciples, hey, by the way, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to die by the hands of the Jews, and on the third day I'm going to be risen from the grave. Not one disciple, male disciple, mind you, was at the grave on the third day to welcome Jesus back. And it was more than once, more than twice, more than thrice where Jesus told them specifically what was going to happen. Sitting in the presence of Jesus and all of this, right? You got to think to yourself. I mean, think about this. Of all the sermons you've heard in your life, how many do you remember? A handful? And of that handful, how many could you quote? None, right? You remember maybe 5% of it. You remember the nugget, right? The details get fuzzy. So we can give the disciples some slack. As Jesus is talking to them, though, I am the vine. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're the vine, right? We have 2,000 years of church history that tells us Jesus is the vine, and that's okay, right? That makes sense to us. Why does it make sense? We're not really sure, but it does, because the church Bible tells us so, right? You know what I mean? And so Jesus the disciples sitting there for the first time hearing this. I am the vine, my Father is the vine dresser, and the branches that are with me, on me, connected with me, remain in me, abide in me. The branches that are with me bear much fruit. Notice Jesus doesn't define what fruit is. Jesus doesn't tell us what the fruit is. He just says that those who are in him, the branches that remain in him, will bear much fruit. These are important distinctions for us to know and recognize that Jesus, that as we look at these things, right, Jesus doesn't say to us, you will bear this thing, you will bear this thing, you will bear this thing. Why? It gives us the leeway for the Spirit to move, to lead. It will bear much fruit. The fruit that is born is such that it shows itself to be connected to the true vine. There's important things here. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. This is important. This is just, we need to wrap our minds around. Testament talked about Israel a lot and as a vine, right? This is imagery that Jesus has brought in. Now I wanna be clear to you that if you are saved, the concept of losing your salvation is a contentious type of thing. But let's and we're not gonna settle it here, and I'm not gonna try to. But let's rest on this for a moment. That if I have given my heart and my life to Jesus Christ, and God has me in his hand, then I'm comfortable enough to say that it's not going to be too easy for me to slip between his fingers. You know what I mean? I think he's got me. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to that which I've committed unto him against that. In other words, God's got this. So when you read chapter 15 and it says there are branches in me that do not bear fruit and they will be removed and thrown into the fire, let's be very specific here. Jesus was talking about the people of Israel who would not believe in him because they are natural vines. Right? The people in Jesus' day who were Jews were natural vine. They were what God planted. We as Gentiles, and I'm assuming all of us in here are Gentiles, are grafted onto the new vine. We are not Jews. We are not from Abraham. We are not from the seed of, from the lineage, the line of Abraham. In other words, we're told elsewhere that when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are grafted onto the vine. So when you read that, don't let somebody try to tell you that if you're not bearing the fruit that I want to see, if you're not living this certain way, then you're going to go to hell. You know what I mean? That because if you believed in Jesus Christ, let me just say, God has you. That doesn't mean you'll be perfect. That doesn't mean that you will always get it right. That doesn't mean that you will always win the Christian contest. It means that God has you. But because God has you, that means that we are connected in Jesus, and there will be times of fruitfulness in our lives, and there will is jealous for every part of you. Absolutely every part. He does not want one part of you tainted by sin. Period. Zero. And when you came to Jesus Christ, right, you gave him your heart and your life. And I don't know about you, but I've heard some stories, but they're very far and few between. And then even then beyond that, right, there are still things that need to be taken care of. But when we come to Jesus Christ, it's not like he just takes all your hurts and habits and hang-ups and says, woo, those are gone. Wow, we can take care of that now. How many of you, right, if you had a problem before you came to Jesus, found that that problem was, boom, gone the next day, and you never had to worry about that again? That's just not the way it works. You see, your first problem was sin. Period. Was that you were the captain of that ship. You were the king of your own castle, and you usurped God's throne. When we come to Jesus, we give him the kingdom back. Then starts the work of recapturing the kingdom. And so if you in your life, right, if you've got habits, hang-ups, if you've got things that you know you ought not do, you ought not have, let me just tell you, God is jealous for that, and he is pruning you. And that hurts. But God is not content to let you be a good Christian. He demands holiness. But thanks be to God, he is abounding in steadfast love and doesn't demand it in one day. But when he prunes, we have to trust that he knows what he's doing. Because when he prunes from us things that we do not need, what happens is he makes room for us to be more fruitful in the things that are needful. He says to his disciples, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." In the Gospel of John, the word and speaking, all of these things are very important. Jesus is the word, as it says in the first part of the Gospel of John, right? The word became flesh. In the beginning, God, the word was with God and the word was God, right? These important things. Jesus is the word that was spoken to us. And as he comes, we are clean. We are clean by the word that comes to us. And so he says, abide in me. And I will abide in you. Remain in me. Remain in me. Hold fast. You see, because there are all sorts of things in this world that try to draw us away from Jesus. And they're not all bad. Let me just tell you that. Some of the most sneaky attacks that we can receive in this world against our Christian faith are that they're almost good. They're almost what we need, right? But we need Jesus first and foremost, and then he directs our paths, as Proverbs tells us. Abide in me, remain in me, and I in you. In other words, there are no shortcuts to faithful living. There is no shortcut to holiness. There is no shortcut to living the life that God has called you to live. The only way through is to remain in Jesus. Again, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. And And if you abide in me, my words abide in you, whatever you ask and wish, it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you will bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. I'm going to wrap this all up, okay, for these last few verses, and then I'm going to land this plane, and we're going to sing, and we're going to go enjoy the rainy day. Is it raining? Maybe. Possibly. You are a branch. You are not the vine. You are not the end-all, be-all. You are not the life of this church. Are not the life of Christianity. You are a branch. You are not the director of the garden. You are not the one who says, what shall go, when shall go, how shall go. Now, obviously, come on. Let's just think about this, right? Clearly, somebody needs to vacuum the carpet. Somebody needs to make decisions about what happens. Don't get me wrong, okay? But if you think that all of that stuff, if you think this world is just going to stop spinning on its axis because you stop doing stuff, let me just tell you, God wound it up a little harder than that. And I don't say that to you to say you don't matter. You do incredibly. But perhaps you matter in a different way than what you think. And perhaps it's richer and more wonderful than what you have pigeonholed yourself into. That doesn't mean bigger and more responsibility. It just means, are you letting God define that? Or are you defining it for God? That's a world of difference. You're not the vine. Not the vine dresser. Those roles are taken for eternity because they're eternal beings and we will cease to exist. You're a branch. Your job, when you read this, it can get a little bit confusing about what your job is. It would seem to say that your job is to bear fruit. But it's not. Your job is not to bear fruit. Right? That's where we can get confused as Christians. We think to ourselves, I gotta bear fruit for the gospel. I don't know what that fruit is, but I gotta bear fruit for the gospel. I think it's over here. No, I think it's over there. No, I think this, maybe this, right? And we chase after things, and there are all sorts of self-help books to make you a better Christian, a better this, a better that, because I gotta bear fruit for the gospel. I gotta witness to the Lord of what he's done, and I've gotta be this, I've gotta be that. Let me just take this weight off of your shoulders. Your job is not to bear fruit. Your job is to stay connected to the vine. Bearing fruit is a happenstance of being connected to the vine. It's a happy coincidence that as you stay connected to the vine, and as the Father prunes you, and you will stay even more rooted and connected and abiding in the vine. And as that happens, you will have more room for bearing fruit. But the responsibility for fruit bearing isn't on you. Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. Think of it. The fruit of the Spirit, right? So we'll get some down. We'll name some fruit here, right? It's one fruit. It's not the fruits of the Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law, right? We look at that list and we're like, whew, all right. I am going to be gentle today, all right? Right? And then you go through and you meet somebody who tests your gentleness and you're like, I'm trying to be gentle today. Back off. Right? We will ourselves to be gentle. last week. I intentionally don't tell you where I stand on stuff. I'm not trying to. Here's the thing. You know that attachment we form with Jesus when we believe in him, and then there's something that keeps that on, right? The sap that acts as a glue and then begins to flow through us and gives that life-bearing. That's the Spirit. Followers of Jesus Christ, our job is to remain rooted in, steadfast, abide in Jesus, and have that life-giving Spirit flow through us, and then the Spirit will then dictate as to the will of the Father what the fruit looks like in us. And the funny thing is, then, as we are remaining rooted in God, and the Spirit flows through us, and God begins to bear fruit in us, that our minds, our hearts, our lives will become then shaped by the branch, by the vine that we're connected to, by the vine dresser, so that when we begin to ask for things, they will be the things shaped by the vine dresser and the vine, not by our own desire. But could you imagine what that would look like? And it starts with you. All right, we're landing this plane right now. Put your seatbelts on and your trays up because we're coming down. And it may be a hard landing for some, but we're just going to hit this ground, right? It starts with you. Are you connected? Are you abiding in the Lord? In whatever way that might look like. Maybe that's you. Maybe you listen to Scripture. Maybe you read Scripture. Maybe you have a regular prayer time every day or every week. Maybe whatever, however that is for you, whatever it is, just make it consistent. And then increase it a little bit more. And then increase it a little bit more. Because time spent with the Lord always gives a greater return than the time we have lost. Always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. Blessings, we pray, O Lord, that you would. First of all, we're just thankful for your patience. We're thankful for your love. Help us, O Lord, to abide in you. In whatever way that means for us, but to abide in you. That it's not up to us what fruit we bear or what that fruit looks like, but Lord, that's on you, and so we give that to your hand. I guess that means, Lord, we trust you.